Good evening. My name is Daniel King, and I am an international evangelist. We've been to over 43 nations around the world, but my favorite place to be is Tulsa, Oklahoma, during the middle of a snowstorm. And I'm just excited to be here. We just received word that someone's friend here in the building is having a baby right now. Let's just begin to pray for that baby. Let's just pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift this baby up to you. Lord, we lift the mother up to you. Father, I pray that this birth will be a healthy birth, that the baby will be a healthy baby. Lord, I pray that you would be with them throughout the entire process. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? It reminds me of Jesus being born 2,000 years ago. It was probably a cold night just like this. He was there in the stable. You all know the story, but Jesus was born in the manger. And we're going to celebrate Jesus here tonight, but first, I want to start out with a story that I heard one time. You guys like stories? Amen. All right, this is a story about a guy who went up to Alaska during the middle of a snowstorm, just like tonight's snowstorm. And he realized that in order to survive up in Alaska, he would need to buy a team of sleigh dogs. And so he asked around the town, and he was trying to find out who was selling sleigh dogs. And finally, he found out that the preacher in the city was selling some sleigh dogs. So he went to the preacher and said, "Could I buy your sleigh dogs?" The preacher was willing to sell him the sleigh dogs. And the preacher said, "But I've got to warn you that my sleigh dogs are Christian sleigh dogs. And so they don't go during when people say giddy up or whatever you say to dogs." He said, "No, I train my dogs to go when you shout hallelujah. And I train them to stop when you say praise the Lord. And so if you want the dogs to go, you got to say hallelujah. If you want them to stop, you got to say praise the Lord." So the guy said, "Oh, that's easy. I can handle that." And so he got the sleigh dogs and he takes off and he shouts out really loud, "Hallelujah!" And the dogs, they start taking him across the snow. And he's just going as fast as he can across the ice and snow. And everything's going good. But then he notices that there is a cliff in front of him. And the dogs are headed towards the cliff. And he wants to make them stop. So he shouts, "Glory to God!" And nothing happens. And then he shouts, "Thank you, Jesus!" And nothing happens. And he can't remember the right words to say to make the dog stop. And he's getting closer and closer to the edge of the cliff. And he starts shouting all the different Christian words he could think of. He said, "Away in a manger," and "Joy to the world," and nothing was working. And he says, "Love the Lord your God." And he started quoting all these verses and John 3:16. And finally, right as the dogs were almost ready to go off the cliff, he remembered what he was supposed to say, and he said, "Praise the Lord!" And the dog stopped. And the man wiped the sweat off of his brow, and he said, "Oh, hallelujah." Oh. Are you ready to get into God's Word this evening? I want to tell you a story from God's Word. This is a story found in Matthew, the 9th chapter, and it's my favorite story about the healing ministry of Jesus. One day, some friends heard about how Jesus was healing the sick. They heard about how Jesus healed the blind man's eyes. They heard about how Jesus healed the cripple. And one of the friends, he said, "We've got a friend who's completely paralyzed. He's been paralyzed for many years. Maybe Jesus can heal him. This man desperately needs a miracle." How many of you need a miracle tonight? Just raise your hand. Amen. Actually, I can't even see your hands. Everyone shout if you need a miracle.
Hallelujah!
Come on, everywhere I go, people need miracles everywhere in the world. And we've seen God do some tremendous miracles. Well, this paralyzed man, he needed a miracle. And so the four friends, they decided to take the paralyzed man to Jesus. And so each of the friends picked up a corner of the bed that the paralyzed man was laying on, and they just picked up the bed and they went to where Jesus was preaching. And when they arrived at the place where Jesus was preaching, there was a problem. The problem was that many people had come to hear Jesus. All the religious leaders from that area had come to hear Jesus, and they were all gathered around the house where Jesus was teaching. And the four friends, they tried to push their way through the crowd. They said, "Excuse me, watch out, I need to get this man to Jesus. Excuse me, we're trying to get this man to Jesus." But the religious leaders, they folded their arms, and they pushed close, and they wouldn't let them through the crowd. Well, one of the friends had a good idea. He said, "Let's climb up on top of the roof of this house, and let's cut a hole in the roof, and let's lower the man down in front of Jesus." And so that's what they did. They climbed up on top of the roof, and they began to cut a hole in the roof. And I want you to imagine what it was like for those people who were sitting in the house. They're sitting there listening to Jesus when suddenly they begin to see dust float down through the air. And then a piece of adobe brick hits them on top of the head. And they're looking up, and these people are cutting a hole in their roof. And you can imagine they're probably pretty upset about that. They're like, "What are we going to do, Jesus? Put in a skylight? What if it rains tonight?" You know. But they lower this man down in front of Jesus. And I want to tell you what Jesus did. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Everyone say, "Jesus saw their faith."
Jesus saw their faith.
Is that then Jesus said three things to the man. The first thing he said was, "Be encouraged." Everyone say, "Be encouraged."
Be encouraged.
The second thing Jesus said was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Everyone say, "Your sins are forgiven."
Your sins are forgiven.
And then the third thing Jesus says was, "Get up, take up your bed, and go home." Everyone say, "Get up,
get up.
Take up your bed,
take up your bed,
and go home,
and go home.
Completely healed." It says that Jesus saw their faith. Now, tonight I want you to know that Jesus sees your need. He's God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He sees your need. How many of you have some needs tonight?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus sees your need, but He is looking for your faith. Do you have faith tonight?
Amen.
I can tell you guys have great faith, or you wouldn't be here in church tonight.
Amen.
Come on, do you guys have faith tonight?
Yes.
I believe you've got great faith. It's a, Jesus saw their faith. In other words, He saw a visible manifestation of their trust in Him. You see, faith without action is dead. That's what the book of James says. It says, faith without works is dead. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, a lot of people, they say they have faith, but their actions don't line up with their words. Jesus wants us to put action to our faith. He doesn't want us to just listen to God's word. He wants us to put God's word into action in our lives. Everyone say, "I will put God's word, into action
in my life."
You see, God is looking for somebody who has faith. I like that flashlight. Why don't you bring that up here? Yeah, just bring it up here. Let's put it right up here at the front and point it at the ceiling. That seems to be the best good. Thank you so much. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you. That is awesome. Let's just see. Yeah, that's good. Well. It's okay. There, now we got some light. Does that look good? That's beautiful. Let there be light. That's right. Thank you. So, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing God's word. How many of you have heard that verse before? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But just recently, God spoke to me. He said, "Daniel, faith comes by hearing my word," but He said, "Miracles come by doing my word." See, a lot of people, they hear God's word. And I meet people all the time. They're really good at quoting scripture. They've got a bunch of the Bible memorized. And then you look at their life, and they can quote the scripture. They know the scripture. But the question is, are they actually putting God's principles into practice in their life? For example, they can quote the scripture that, that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, they know where that verse is found. They can quote that scripture. But the question is, are they really loving the person that's sitting on the pew next to them? Are they really putting it into action in their lives? Well, I think these four friends who carried the paralyzed man to Jesus, it's obvious, first, that they had faith because they put their faith into action. How many think it took a lot of faith to cut a hole in that roof? I mean, they did something with their faith. See, sometimes we got to do more than just sit and listen to God's word. We've got to put it into action into our lives. We got to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. So Jesus saw their faith. And tonight, Jesus is looking for someone who has faith here in this building. And so in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to put action to your faith. I'm going to ask you to put your faith into action. We're going to give people an opportunity to pray, to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And when I ask if you want to do that, well, you can just choose to sit there, you listen, but what I want you to do is put action, and I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and stand up. We're also going to pray for some sick people here tonight. How many of you came with pain in your body and you need Jesus to touch you tonight? You know, Jesus will touch you. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to put action to your faith. I'm going to ask you to begin doing something you couldn't do before. If you had a bad back, I'm going to ask you to begin moving your back. If your legs are sore, I'm going to ask you to begin moving your legs. And this is what I do in countries all over the world. Just recently, we were in the nation of Honduras. There's a woman who came to the crusade. We had about 15,000 people there. And they pushed her in a wheelchair right up to the front of the crusade. She was sitting right over here. And all the people came and they listened to the message that we preached on faith in Jesus. And this woman, she had great faith in Jesus. And so I asked the people to begin doing something they couldn't do before. And this woman, she was sitting there in this wheelchair. And she wanted to put her faith into action. But her story was very sad. We asked her what her story was. She said that she had been sitting in this wheelchair for 11 years. And I asked her how she came to be in this wheelchair. And she said 11 years before, her husband had come home drunk one night. And he was so drunk, he became very angry. And he beat her up with his fist so severely that he put her in this wheelchair. And for 11 years, she could not walk. But that night, she reached out towards God with her faith. And she pushed herself up out of the wheelchair. And she stood there with her legs trembling. And then very slowly, she took a very small step. What was happening? She took a step of faith. She put her faith into action. Then she took another step. And then that lady, she took another step. And she took another step. And she took another step. And she went running back and forth across the stage. And she said, Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me! She was so excited. Why? Because God honored her faith. And tonight, God will also honor your faith. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Come on, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, shout amen.
Amen.
You guys have great faith here tonight. Now, in this passage, Jesus says three things to the paralyzed man. The first thing Jesus said to him was, be encouraged. Everyone say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
The second thing Jesus said was, your sins are forgiven. Everyone say, your sins are forgiven.
Your sins are forgiven.
And then the third thing Jesus did was, he said, get up, take up your bed and go home. Everyone say, get up.
Take up your bed
and go home. Now, why did Jesus say these three things to the man? Well, each one of us is a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul comprised of our mind and our emotions. And our spirit and our soul live in this physical body, which you can see. And so Jesus wanted to bring complete healing to this man. Spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus wants to bring complete healing and wholeness to your life. Jesus is not just concerned with one area of your life. He wants your whole life to be healed. And so the first thing Jesus said to this man was, be encouraged. I want you to think about, why did Jesus say, be encouraged, this man? Well, he was laying there in front of Jesus, and he was in a very serious situation. He was completely paralyzed, and he'd been that way for 12 years. And because he was paralyzed, he was probably a little bit depressed. How many of you would be depressed if you were paralyzed? Huh? Can you imagine? Would you be depressed if you were paralyzed? Yeah. And then, not only was he depressed, but he was probably also very lonely. All his friends were out in the streets playing soccer, and here he is, depressed and lonely, paralyzed. Then he was probably also very worried. Satan was coming and whispering lies in his ears and planting fear inside of his heart. Satan was saying things like, you're never going to get better. How are you going to feed your family? You'll never get a job. You're completely paralyzed. And so Satan was whispering these lies in his ears. And so here this man is. He'd spent all his money on the doctors. The doctors told him his situation was hopeless. And he was depressed. He was sad. He was lonely. He was worried. He was fearful. And the first thing that Jesus said to him was, be encouraged. Now, that's the same thing that Jesus wants to say to you tonight. Jesus says to you tonight, be encouraged. Everyone say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Jesus looked at this man, he said, be encouraged. You don't need to be sad any longer. You don't need to be depressed any longer. You don't need to be lonely any longer. You don't need to be worried any longer. You don't need to be fearful any longer. Why? Because Jesus is here. And wherever Jesus is, your miracle is going to happen. And so Jesus says the same thing to you tonight. Be encouraged. You don't need to be sad. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be lonely. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be fearful. Why? Because Jesus is here. And wherever Jesus is, your miracle is going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Everyone say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Jesus doesn't want you to be sad. Sometimes at Christmas time, it's easy to start getting discouraged. You're far away from your family. You're far away from your friends. And it's easy sometimes at Christmas time to get discouraged and wonder what's the point of life and what's the meaning of life. And everyone else seems to be happy at Christmas time. And you're wondering, why is my life so sad? Well, I want you to know that Jesus is with you. There's no reason to be discouraged this Christmas time. Jesus is there with you. He is your family. He's your brother. He's your friend. And if you have Jesus, you don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be sad. You don't need to be worried this Christmas time. Why? Because you have Jesus inside of you. You have Jesus walking along with you. How many of you feel the presence of Jesus here? Just lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lift up your hands. Everyone lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For your presence.
For your presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For being with me.
For being with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For encouraging me.
For encouraging me.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the second thing Jesus said to this man was, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the religious leaders got very upset about this. They folded their arms and they said, who does Jesus think he is? Doesn't he know that only God can forgive sin? And what's sad is that the religious leaders are right. It's true that only God can forgive sin. But it's also sad because they were wrong, because Jesus was God. He was the God that they were looking for. And so they failed to recognize that Jesus was God. And so, Jesus, he said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, get up and walk. This is the reason that Jesus came to earth, to forgive your sins. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the price for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not die, but would have everlasting life. And the Bible says, every person who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Let's call on Jesus tonight. Everyone just lift up your hands. We're going to shout the name of Jesus. Jesus!
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 Jesus! Come on, call on Jesus tonight. Call on Him.
Jesus!
Jesus! Jesus, we call on you tonight. Jesus wants to say the same thing to you tonight. He wants to say to you, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. It does not matter what you've done in the past. You can have a wonderful future with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your history is like, where you came from, what your family background is like. When you invite Jesus to come into your life, it changes you on the inside. You repent of your sins. Repentance means you turn away from your sins. You turn away and you go towards God. And it says every person who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so tonight, Jesus wants to save you from your sins. Every single one of us have done things wrong. We've lied, we've cheated, we've stolen, we disobeyed God's commands. But God wants to forgive your sins. And if you will call on Jesus tonight, He will say to you, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are washed away. You can be clean and holy before God Almighty. And then the third thing that Jesus said was, get up, take up your bed, and go home. Jesus did not just leave him with a physical problem. Jesus healed this man physically. And tonight, Jesus wants to say the same thing to you. He wants to say, get up and go home completely healed. You don't need to have pain in your body any longer. Jesus will touch your body and set you free from anything that's hurting you. Jesus will wash away the sin. Jesus will encourage you tonight. I want you to imagine what it was like for this man. He's laying there in front of Jesus. He's depressed. He's sad. He's paralyzed. He's living in fear. He can't move. His heart is full of sin. He's done so many wrong things. And Jesus comes to him and encourages him. And suddenly he feels the weight of sin lift off of his body. The depression leaves. The loneliness leaves. And Jesus fills his heart with joy. The Bible says in God's presence, there's a fullness of joy. And so suddenly the sadness leaves and the gladness comes in. And then the second thing Jesus says to him is, your sins are forgiven. And he feels this great weight of sin, all the wrong things that he's done in his life. This weight, this horrible dirtiness of sin lifts off of his life. And he starts to feel really good. And then Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and go home. And the man, he hasn't moved in 12 years. But for the first time in 12 years, he begins to move his hand. And then he moves it a little bit more. He looks up. His four friends are looking in through the hole in the roof. And he begins to wave at them and says, hey guys, look at this. I can move. And then he pushes himself up from the bed. And he takes a very small step. And then he takes another step. And then he takes another step. And he takes another step, and another step, and another step. And he starts running back and forth. He says, Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me! Hallelujah! Jesus, heal me! Then he rolls up his bed, and he puts it on his shoulder. And on the way in, the religious leaders would not let him through the crowd. But on the way out, he says, excuse me, watch out, I'm coming through. Excuse me, watch out. Jesus, somebody go, excuse me. You see, that man, he came in through the roof, but he walked out through the door.
That's right.
He came in with a big, big problem, but he walked out with a big, big miracle. He came in lying on his bed, but he walked out carrying his bed. And Jesus wants to do the same thing for you tonight. You might have come in tonight and you say, Daniel, I'm facing a big problem in my life. You don't know how big this problem is. You know, our family, we need finances. We need money. You might be facing pain in your body. You say, Daniel, you don't know what I've done, the sins that I've committed. I don't think God can forgive me. Well, you might be facing a big, big problem, but I want to tell you tonight that Jesus has a big, big miracle for you. Jesus wants to encourage you tonight. Jesus wants to forgive your sin tonight. Jesus wants to heal your body tonight. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.